The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, and so we hear this common story again of Jesus fasting in the wilderness and coming back and being tempted. It's really probably the only day of the church year that we give the devil much notice. And I thought I'd share with you, first of all, a reminder. In baptism, and we don't have too many baptisms around here, but in baptism, before we make profession of our Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed, the pastor and the congregation have a dialogue. Pastor says, "I ask you, do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God?" And the congregation says,
I renounce them.
"Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?" "Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?" My husband would probably have made you do that again because it wasn't loud enough. But I'm content. You know the words. In our baptismal liturgy, the whole congregation renounces the devil and all the forces that defy God. But as you can see from our first lesson this morning, Satan is a slippery devil, pun intended. So I thought I'd share with you what I've developed to be what I think are the devil's top 10 lies, and some responses to those lies. Number 10, God forbids certain things in order to keep us from being all that we can be. That's the one he tried on Adam and Eve, you know. But truth be told, God forbids certain things in order to protect us from what God knows we cannot handle. God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree, and God has given us commandments for some of the same reasons that parents don't allow a small child to cross a busy street alone. God wants us to be able to grow into our full and abundant potential. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." Number 9. The devil says if we are undergoing trials and hard times, it must be because we do not have enough faith. Truth be told, the devil may simply be using these times to prove that we are being knocked off our faith feet. Or maybe we have or others have made for us choices. And those choices have had negative consequences. Jesus was not crucified for lack of faith. Number 8, if there is a beautiful voice singing scripture in your ear, the voice must be God's. This text that we just read, I want you to picture. I picture a handsome baritone singing on eagle's wings because he was quoting from the Psalms. Bear you up on eagle's wings. The devil was quoting scripture to Jesus. If scripture is being used in any other way than to lift up God and lift up neighbor, it might be being misused. 1 John 4:1 says, "Test the spirits." Filter the words through Jesus' two great commands. Love God, love neighbor. Number 7. Once in God's favor, always in God's favor. I'm a Christian. I can do no wrong. Lutherans, truth be told, believe in something called simul justus et peccator. We are always saint and sinner at the same time. God doesn't approve of something just because a Christian or even a large number of Christians do or say something. King Saul, Peter, the generations of Israelites who escaped Egypt but were not allowed into the promised land because of their disobedience, they're all examples. Number 6, this is an oldie but a goodie. God and Satan are equal and opposing forces. Picture a little angel and a little devil on a cartoon character's shoulders. Truth be told, God is in control and will be forever. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, just, merciful, and loving. Satan might win some battles on earth, but ultimately, all the power belongs to God forever. In the end, God wins. Philippians 2 says, every knee on heaven and in earth and under the earth, every knee will bow. Number 5, evil people do evil things, good people do good things, God's people do God's things. See simul justus et peccator again. We are still saints and sinners. We don't all do all good and we don't all do all bad. It only takes a minimum of Bible reading to realize how often and how easily even the best of God's own people can get off track or sidetracked. It wasn't until I lived in a railroad town that I came to love these terms, off track and sidetracked. Because it means literally, that train's not going anywhere. Do a BibleGateway.com search on the phrase, "What they did was evil in God's sight." It's very eye-opening. But God's love and mercy are never failing. The generation that God led out of Egypt quickly turned to Baal in the wilderness. Two generations, it says in Judges 2, two generations after Joshua, the people forgot all about God. The Lord is merciful and steadfast, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Four, if I have an abundance of possessions, or at least all of the necessary comforts of life, it's a sign that God has had favor on me. Truth be told, sometimes an abundance of possessions leads us to look toward possessions and not God for our needs to be filled. Read Acts 5 sometime. Ananias and Sapphira. Life is not about stuff. Matthew 5:45 says, "It rains on the just and the unjust alike." Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." In 2 Corinthians 12, God's grace is sufficient. God's power is made perfect in weakness. The devil says, "You get to be in control. You are smart and you are wise and you have wisdom and power. You're better than they are." God says, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." "Worship the Lord and serve only him," was Jesus' response to the devil. "Love your enemies. Pray for those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you." Number two, death is the end. This life is all you get. Therefore, death is the worst thing that can happen to a person. Truth be told, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live even though they die." Who are you going to believe? And finally, number one, if you're a good person and follow your heart, you will go to heaven. Faith, discipleship, it's all irrelevant. Truth be told, God is merciful. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Revelation 7 says, "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white." Who are these robed in white? These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We can't pretend to know the mind of God, and we don't judge or claim to know whom God excludes. But we do know the path to inclusion, which is Jesus Christ. God's love is merciful, steadfast, slow to anger, and abounding. The devil is a liar. Seek the truth where it may be found. Hold fast to the grace that found you through no merit of your own. In these 40 days of Lent, take on a few more devotional moments. Think on the life and the teachings of Jesus. Observe where the devil, that liar, is trying to sneak into your life. And remember that the devil and God are not equal and opposite. We know who wins in the end. We have been embraced by the love of the God who sent his own Son to show us what love really looks like. The peace of Christ that passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.